Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders. It is May 15th, I believe. And we've got a lovely guest with us today, Stormfall, one of our other companions on Interface. How are you, buddy?
Hello, I'm good. Companions, like we're in a party. We're in like a
RPG party. On a little adventure.
Yeah.
Okay, but what class are you guys?
I want to say Dodger is goblin. Yeah.
What the shit?
Goblin, mushroom farmer. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Goblin mushroom farmer.
I don't think that's a class.
No, that's
I'll
what
take
you are.
It,
but... I am an elven sex smith. And
I'm sorry, did you say sex smith or sex myth?
Yes, sex smith. I smith the sex in the elven capital of big tower land.
Yeah.
And Storm, you are our human.
Oh, why you gotta make me character. A damn human?
Well, because everyone has to see themselves through you as you go on this adventure with the Wily Goblin.
Oh, he's making you the main character, that's why.
Yeah, you're the main character. Everyone sees themselves through you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you gave her a class, though.
Yeah, I'm just the human.
That
I'm
was the original question. What class are we all?
I think I'm a tank.
Human... Yeah. Yeah, human meat shield.
Thanks.
Yep.
What a party. What a great
we don't
party.
Don't last long. We go really hard and we die very quickly.
We have no discernible skills. Yeah.
During the pre-show, Storm and I realized that we have a connection that you have played games with my sweet love, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's cool.
He's cute. He is cool. I like him.
He's all right. Like, he's whatever. He's fine. What yeah, sort of... I mean, like...
What?
No, you know, he's all right for Sam. You know.
Go on.
What a great compliment.
I was waiting for you to defend your husband. Get in there.
I have no idea how to respond there. To he's all right for a Sam.
I don't know. You could have said, like, he's the best Sams. Sam.
He's I think he's the finest of Sams.
Yeah, but that's not true. Samwise Gamgee's a better Sam. Let's be real. That dude lifted his friend up a mountain.
True.
Strippin's not going to do that.
Sam from, I'm pretty sure his name is Sam in Death Stranding, right?
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of Sams to compete with, I'm realizing.
Sam Porter Bridges. Yeah. Whoa, that guy saved the world multiple times. Yeah, never mind. You know what? Dodger, you're right. The silence was correct.
Stripping sucks.
He sucks. Yeah, out of all the Sams, he's the worst.
Look, just because Sam hasn't been put in a situation where he has to carry me up a mountain or put a baby in a tank doesn't mean he's not the best Sam. He could do those things. He just hasn't had that life experience.
If he could, he would. Am I right, ladies?
He would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a tip. That's a tip, ladies. If he cared enough, he would.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been doing this week, Storm?
Been good. Been tired. Been playing lots of games. Been just played Subnautica 2 yesterday.
Oh my gosh. I really want to play that. Would you like to talk about
it? I'm scared to death of it. So, yeah. How is
it? You have a crippling fear of the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
Okay, so yes. I will say Subnautica 1, I feel like it was, you know, much older, the graphics a little, you know, kind of whatever, it doesn't look that real. Subnautica 2 looks very much like a real ocean. So there's this like you know that fear that people have of seeing like propeller jets underwater in like still deep water.
No.
Yeah, this is like a thing too.
Is that a hyper-specific fear?
That is a very hyper-specific one of seeing like specifically like broken down underwater, like sunken ships in like semi, like clear, like it's a weird fear.
Okay, interesting.
But that is a very, that fear alongside with deep ocean fear exists in Subnautica 2 because you'll be like, the water is, it's so hyper-realistic, right? So, because I'm pretty sure they made it Unreal Engine. And it's got this like hazy film under, like how you would see underwater if you were like literally looking underwater. It's like very blurry in the distance. So if you see like a crash site underwater, it just appears as this like eerie, ominous silhouette of a crash in this like deep ocean blue water with nothing but that. Oh god, it's so scary. Subnautica 2 way scarier than Subnautica 1 in that regard.
Interesting.
I haven't met any of the giant monsters yet, so I don't know how terrifying those get. But yeah, you playing
it? Like, where are you at? Like, in the game, where are you at? Like, how many hours in?
Oh, not far. Like, 6 hours, maybe?
Okay.
So I'm still
like
in the shallows.
A window before... Yeah.
Yeah. Are you playing it alone, or are you playing it with a group or with another person?
I've only played single player so far to yesterday, but I might play and try some co-op sometime this week.
I'm curious, see
how it is.
What the experience difference is, because the first one wasn't co-op, right? It was only single player.
Yeah, it was only single player. I think there was a mod to make it co-op though. I'm sure it's much less scary with friends, Jesse.
That's not true. My friends are the worst. Have you seen them?
I was gonna say, I think it would depend on the friend. Maybe
they will betray me so quickly. That is no way.
Depends on the friend.
I have an issue even getting in. When I played the first one, that sort of like moment where you have to just jump in the water, I was like,
Oh,
yeah. There's not only stuff, alien stuff in there. I was like, nah. Oh,
this one
like
also
that.
Has like Lovecraftian vibes too. Like this like call of the ocean, and they're like worshiping this tree. It's like a...
Oh,
like,
Jesse, that is your
there?
Weakness. You love
it
an Eldritch.
It is my weakness. I do love an Eldritch nonsense, but...
Oh, yeah.
I also don't like, you know, when the ocean is like, hey, I'm going to eat you. I don't like that. It's not a thing I enjoy.
Yeah.
Dude, there was this moment I was like searching a crash site, and the PDA is like, the robot in your PDA is talking to you. It's the one that's like oxygen, and then you have to go to the whatever. It goes, you're being hunted. And I'm like, what? Out of nowhere. And then this like giant shark thing just appears and tries to eat my ass. I'm like, huh? Why
that's
do you
the
have
sort
to
of
say
thing that would make me immediately pause?
Like, you're being hunted. Yeah. What is the one way we can make the cortisol levels just instantly spike?
Mm-mm. Right. Yeah, I'd pause and walk away for a second and be like, I think I need a break, maybe. And then by the time I came back and unpaused, I'd just die instantly.
Yeah. No, see, I wouldn't want to know that. I'd rather just get the jump scare of being instantly eaten rather than knowing that something's coming to get me, you know? Because when I know, now I'm panicking, and that just, I start flopping in the water, and that's how they find you.
Have you seen anything from the first game from Subnautica?
I played the first game. I hated the first game. That so you was know about the longest Reaper slog. Leviathan. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, oh, okay. I'm aware.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I'm aware of it all.
That's not an instant death. They, like, grab you, and you can see all of their the teeth and the face. Oh.
At a certain point, I got over it and was just like, eat me, you son of a bitch. But before then, I was very stressed out. Yeah. Yeah, I believe I ended my stream just going directly towards it and was like, get it over with! Just eat me! Which is...
based.
I don't know, not the smartest way to go out, but that's what I did.
Pretty brave.
Yeah.
Pretty brave of you.
No, it was a solid definitive end. It was a good way to be like, well, I'm dead. I can't play this again.
So, you didn't kill me. Yeah. I killed me.
I killed me, exactly.
Yeah. I took it in my own hands.
I gave my life to you.
That little bit of power. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for understanding.
Mm-hmm. I get you. Have you guys been playing any other games?
Do you have anything you want to talk about, Jessup?
Oh, I had like a whole week of finally... I don't have a computer at home right now because it absolutely died. So I've been just dicking around on the PlayStation. And I'm getting achievements. Like a person who would do that, which is not something I do. And so I managed to, for the first time ever, 100% Dynasty Warriors Origins, which I've never 100% of the Dynasty Warriors games, because those things are like,
is that hard to do?
Every weapon. Oh, it's not hard. It's just time consuming. Yep. It's a lot of like, it'll be like, okay, you need to collect 9 out of 9 horses. And it's like, all right, well, where the hell do I get these horses? And if you look, the process to do it is literally just do everything. It's like, okay, you need to go and beat Lu Bu in order to get this one horse. And he's the hardest guy in the game. And in order to do that, you need to be like super high level to have the best weapons. So you're basically doing everything. Or it'll be like, collect every one of these items. And in order to do that, you have to do everything. Or it'll be like, unlock all the abilities. Well, in order to do that, you have to level up all your weapons. So it's that kind of BS.
Just give me the do everything achievement, damn it.
That's all really, that's what it should be. And in the past, that's kind of what it was. This time they hit it. And so it'll be like, collect 9 horses. Like, all right, well, how do I? Oh, just do everything. Okay. So once you start doing that and you just go down the list of everything you have to do, achievements just start to unlock.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, I can do this. I'm not saying it took a year and 128 hours, but I did it. It's done. I never have to play that again. It's the first time I've ever done a Dynasty Warriors game like that. And so finished, complete. But then also, shockingly so, full plat 100% on Sorrows.
Did it. Wow, well done. Damn.
A lot of that is also not very hard. I would say Returnal's achievements are much harder. In fact, Returnal is much harder, and I am not good at it. But Sorrows at least has a, like, gradient where you can get better and stack on your benefits of getting better and better and better. So over time, you're just a better character. Mm. But man, oh man, why do that when you discover online? Because I went online, like, how do you do these achievements? So one guy's like, all right, here's the tip, y'all. You know that thing in game where you can balance out like your good and bad attributes and you have to keep it kind of in the middle? If you go one way or another, it starts to mess you up. All right. So anyway, there's a setting that just turns that off and you can do all good attributes. And I was like, I see.
Good to know. There is?
Yeah, fantastic. There is.
They got the games journalist setting in there?
Oh, it's in there and it's fantastic. There's one achievement that is 33 runs. It's clearly one of those, like, homages to Expedition 33, but I was like, F you, 33 runs? I'm cheating that, so absolutely did it. It was great. Yep, good stuff. Loved it. I will say you can't spam it. It still has a limit on how many you can actually use. And so, after a while, I was like, all right. But, playing through the game was great, and then doing all the achievements and getting the cheese is the cherry on top. especially after the game beats the crap out of you. You're like, you know what? No, game. No. I am going to cheese a little. Deal with it.
The game's like, that's why it's there, man. I got to the king and I was like, this is kicking my ass. And then I turned on the limiter. I turned on one that was like, they do less damage or whatever, or I take less damage, something like that. And then I could finally beat him because it was so annoying because they take away you. It's because
they take away your life.
They take away your life. They take away any of your progression. Yeah. So you have to only go into this one level. So you can't like actually go get like, you know, juice in another area. And it's just like, oh, but the boss fights are so cool.
They were so good. It's cool. I like the Returnal story more, but I think this one had, I explained to Dodger last week. It's kind of like the difference between Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 3. Like, Returnal's a little more Dead Space 1, and this one's a little more Dead Space 3. I liked the more horror bits of Returnal, but, yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. And then, I downloaded, and I haven't had a chance to play much of it, but the new Vampires game with the cards, downloaded that. Yeah, it's
the new
like,
Vampire Survivors game?
It's not Vampire
game?
Survivors.
Vampire Crawlers.
Oh, it's Vampire Crawlers.
Yeah.
And it is a card game inspired by Vampire Survivors, and it is ridiculously fun. It is, I'm not good at card games because my ADD kicks in, and I'm like, oh, that's powerful. But the whole point is you have to, like, combo, and you have to play certain cards at certain points, and I don't have that ability to mentally be like, I've thought four cards ahead. I figured this out. I see big number. I'm like, big number! And so that's an inherent problem I have. But it is very fun. So, yeah, download that. Downloaded it for a PlayStation, by the way. That's crazy. But here we are.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It plays great with controller. Something that I really like about Vampire Crawlers is you can kind of just like slouch and play it with WASD. Like, you don't really have to touch much else.
That's what I'm saying with controller. You just like, pretty good.
There is a novelty about just sitting back on your couch playing on a console, even though I mostly prefer PC games.
Oh, same. Yeah.
It's just like, man, I could just sit here, though. I don't got to do anything.
Yeah.
I sit at my desk.
I'm not going to play a shooter or any first-person thing on a console. It always drives me crazy. I suck at it. I need a mouse and keyboard. But if it's, you know, a platformer or even a card game like Crawlers, for some reason, it's just super easy to just, yeah, all right. And it's nice. It's nice to go full relax mode, especially not streaming. My apologies to everyone who was like, but I would have liked to watch Sorrows. That's cool. I would not have liked to stream that for you. I would have raged the entire time.
Yeah. Growing up is realizing what you want to stream and what will piss you off to stream. And it's fine. Yeah, we haven't, I want to say in like 4 years, we haven't had any kind of a like console setup in the house. The consoles have been at one of our like work setups, but we haven't had anything set up to just like play console games like in the living room or anything until recently when my kids started playing Pocopia. We were like, we need to figure out a way to set up the Switch 2 in the living room for her. And occasionally she gets annoyed with something and I'm like, I can just do it. And it is really nice to just like, to just sit on the couch and play. So I think I'm just going to set up a couple of different systems in the living room because it's just nice. It's just a nicer experience.
But you play Pocopia, but have you tried the Tomodachi Life?
Not yet. I haven't. No, and I want to so bad. I keep watching people's.
Who are you gonna put on the island? Who are you gonna put on the island?
So here's the thing: is I kept saying the last two like game franchises that I got like really into. Well, I got really into Pathologic. I was like, I could put all the Pathologic people on there. They could bring the plague to Tomodachi Life. And then I played the new Moomin game and I was like, I could put all the Moomins on there. And then I didn't know if that would gel well or if it would gel perfectly. And then I started thinking to myself, what if I made a Tamagotchi Life Island that was just the afterlife and all of the characters from everything that I've ever enjoyed, all the characters that died, I just put all of them there. So why do you
think somebody wants to be on the island? I think someone here does.
What do you mean? I mean, Doctor, if you want to put me on your island, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say no, but I'm not asking. Mm-hmm. I'm not like asking, but if you wanted to do it, I would. I mean, like, if you want to.
It's very fun to watch other people's like clips of how they've been playing it because everybody plays it so differently.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into that addiction yet. That's
you
part
want
of
to?
The reason I don't know. I think it would be much more fun to stream and show people like my ant farm of Tomodachi Life. Like, look at them. Look at what they're all doing. But yeah, it's part of the reason why I never played like Vampire Survivors. I never got into Balatro very much because like I get just very addicted. And the only thing I've really gotten addicted to in that term is Slay the Spire 2, which I cannot stop playing. I think I have like over 200 hours now.
I literally was playing that this morning.
Dude, I go to bed, I lay down on my Steam Deck, and I'm like, yeah, I'll start up a run.
It's good. Oh, it's Who do you play as? What's your favorite character to play as in Slay the Spire?
So I really liked the Necrobinder.
Yeah.
And I hated the defect for a long time because I could not figure out how to play the defect. Then I talked to my friend, Sunglitters, who was like, the defect is so good, you got to try it again. And then I built a status deck on the defect, and I got to my highest ascension, 8 now. And I love the defect. Defect is so good. It's my favorite now.
Yeah, it's great. It recently occurred to me that there are probably people making Slay the Spire fan art. And so I went to look and see if it's there. People are
Defect a buff guy? I gotta see. Hold on.
I haven't seen buff guy defect. A lot of baby girl defect, for sure. Lots of uwu defect.
You know those artists that turn like non-humanoid creatures into humans? Like what they think they would look like as a human.
Oh, yes. You want that?
I bet defect but for defect.
Did you play the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like defect used to be much tinier and then like rebuilt themselves to be bigger, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Wasn't this like that? I don't know, maybe the lore, but this defect is different and this is like a second one, and you get to the artifact, and he's like, can you rebuild my friend? And I thought the friend was this defect from Slay Spire 1.
Maybe. I thought it was same core, different body. But yeah, it could be different defect.
That might be actually right.
I don't know. It sounds like you've gotten further than me, so you might have lore I don't have.
I don't even know if this game knows how to have lore. It's just a card game. You run up the tower.
I know, but they did finally give us lore, which is nice.
Yeah.
I do like that they give you the option of engaging more with the world and like what everything is. I think that's nice.
I kind of wish there was a little bit more. Maybe they'll add a little bit more. Because you only get, like, passing comments from some of the, like, gods that give you boons. And they're like, what are you doing here, king? Don't you have somewhere else to be? And then the regent's like, shut up, peasant. And it's like, oh, okay. We got that bit of
I love the regent. I love that they canonically made the regent shorter than everybody else. He's just like a snotty little man. I don't know. I love him.
Short king in his throne. I cannot... Yeah. I had 12 losses before I got my first win on Regent. I hate that guy. I don't know how to build him. So terrible.
I just expected there to be more because of the... I complained about this when the game first came out. But I expected there to be more like minion-based cards in his deck. Because they pitched him as like, he doesn't do any work. His minions do. And I just don't think the cards support that enough. I want him to be like using his minions to do more, I guess. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll get over it. I could talk about a game that I played that wound up being way more interesting than I thought it was going to be. It's called Black Jacket.
Oh.
And the pitch of the game was you are in the afterlife and you are using the game of blackjack to try and pay your way back to life. So the aesthetic looked nice, like the art looked really cool. And I was like, okay, I've played a few of these, right? A few of these like beat me in a game, right? Kind of things. I thought it was going to be much more your playing blackjack against the devil, and I expected the cards to get adjusted or have modifiers and things, which they do in this game. But this game actually wound up being way more like sweet and emotional, and the game itself, all of it, it does the Slay the Spire thing where you go along a path. And you are all of the like lost souls in this area are battling each other in different types of card games to try and pay the ferryman to come back to life. The ferryman has basically said, if you give me enough money, I'll bring you back to life. And so everybody's desperate to get money. So they're all gambling with each other. You were addicted to blackjack when you were alive. So you are playing blackjack against a bunch of souls. And the boss encounters that you have are people that you wronged in your life.
Oh.
I won't spoil who those people are because I thought it was really fun playing it and trying to like figure out who these people were and how they were associated with us. But the progression of the game is the more that you fight these same people, they remember more about you and they confront you about things. And so it's more like, you have to set your scores. You have to like take responsibility with people before you can move on, kind of a thing. It's a lovely game. It's really, really good. And it has this sort of like weird, dark kind of art style and vibe to it, while also having really good voice acting for the main characters, really good storyline, and believable characters as well. Characters where you're like, oh my God, I kind of see where they're coming from in this sort of situation, etc. So I got to the point where after the first day, I was like, okay, I have to finish this game. Like, I have to know what's going on with these characters.
You finished it?
So I did finish it, or rather I got an ending. But I believe that there is a better ending that I can get. So I'm trying different things to see if I can figure out how to, like, if there's a different way to do things to end differently. But I did technically beat it. It's very fun. It's in terms of like mechanics, you start with the four like normal suits. Each one of them has a different sort of like thing that it can do. So originally the cards are normal cards, you know, and then you can awaken them and then they gain modifiers. So one of the suits is really good at letting you see what your next cards are and the cards of your opponent and rearrange them. One of the decks is good at just putting like trash cards into the other person's deck, that kind of stuff. But there's also four other suits that you can unlock as you play that are just bonkers. One of them is like a burn deck, kind of a weird necromancy deck where you burn their cards and your own. But you can also get cards that will like bring your burned cards back into your hand. Like more complicated stuff that you can choose to engage with as you play. And then the other cool part of the mechanic is you unlock different face cards, and the face cards all tell stories. So the original one is like King, Queen, Jack, right? And you unlock other ones as you go, but you can have King, Queen, Jack in your deck. And again, I really want you guys to play this game, so I won't spoil it. But if you put face cards next to each other, they interact. And if you do enough combinations, you eventually figure out what the story is meant to be between the cards. It's really interesting. It's super, super cool. They gave you like a lot to think about and engage with in the game. And I think it's awesome. I was like so delighted. Yeah, it's great.
How long did it take you to beat?
Let's see. I just beat it today. I would say it maybe took me like 10 hours to beat it, just because I was doing tons and tons of runs and I was upping the difficulty. If you stayed on like the first difficulty, I think you could beat it a lot faster. I was just, if I unlocked enough new difficulty, I would just, yeah, up to difficulty 21 because it's blackjack. Yeah.
Classic.
But it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bought it.
I should try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yay. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds super cool.
It is very cool.
I'll try it out.
And the other thing I played is Everything is Crab. I don't know if either of you guys wound up playing that one.
Everything is Crab?
Yeah.
I did not play Everything is Crab.
Wait, Everything is Crab is awesome. In Everything is Crab, it's like an alternate version of Spore. Like you start as a weird little blob. Start as a weird little blob, and you do the thing where you like, you're trying to survive. The longer you survive, the more you like level. And with each level, you get to choose an evolution. So you get to slowly decide how you want your blob to evolve and get more powerful. It's great. It's so weird. The name is operating on the like belief that everything with given enough time to evolve would just become a crab. So yeah, it's cool. Like different types of evolutions cut off other ones. So you could, you know, some evolutions are like, we'll have a picture of a crocodile and it'll say you gain heat resistance, but then it'll also tell you this means that you will not get offered cold resistance in the future, that sort of thing. So the ways that you decide to evolve might be cutting things off, but it might unlock things that you haven't seen before. You can evolve yourself to be more leg-based versus arm-based. And there are things that you can find that give you both, but like if you don't run into those, then you might just have like great legs in one way or another, but not arms, you know.
Great legs. Wait, yeah. So is it a bullet heaven? What is this game? How does it actually play?
I wouldn't call it a bullet heaven necessarily, because nothing's happening automatically.
Bullet heaven.
The opposite of bullet hell.
The opposite of like Vampire Survivors, where you're just you're just throwing shit
where
out.
You literally
and killing
just are a guy and stuff explodes from you and stuff dies. Rather than being a guy and stuff explodes at you, which is a bullet hell.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a bullet. People in chat are saying it is. I wouldn't call it a bullet heaven because you actively have to do all of the attacks. You are still completely like nothing is happening automatically. Right. There is a charm branch. You can be adorable enough that things want to protect you and you get, you like charm things.
That's what I want.
To fight for you. But
that's my dream.
That's the
Are
closest
you kidding?
Thing I
that's...
would say.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want the charm ability. I want thousands of anything can be charmed.
I think so. Maybe not the weird little mini bosses that show up, but
no. Well, I don't want to charm a mini boss. I want to unleash minions on a mini boss. All right. I'll play it. This is one you got me. Yeah. You're out here selling games today. I'll play crabs. I'll be crabs.
Great. One of the evolutions that you can get, if you take enough stuff that puts you into like a predator class, eventually you get asked if you want to be an alpha.
Oh, hell
yeah. The first time I saw that, I was like, yeah!
Hell yeah, bro!
Hell yeah! Let's go. And the second I became an alpha, I died.
I have a Sigma grind set for my crab, and I choose not to fall into the alpha system, please.
Of course.
I'm outside of it.
Right.
Of course. Yeah.
Ascended.
All right. Yeah, I'll play. Great.
That's fun.
Done.
Both of those games, very fun in completely different ways.
Have either of you played any of the Backrooms games?
I don't think so.
Briefly. I played like the Backrooms, like multiplayer, like co-op.
Yeah.
For like a couple hours, but not much.
That's exactly how long you should play these games. Couple hours and that's it.
And never touch it again.
Yeah, Crendor and I played Escape the Backrooms, which is admittedly probably the best version of these. But still, we hit a point where it's just unfair. Like, what it wants you to do is unfair. And it was not fun. And we were like, well, I have stuff to do today, so I guess we're done. But I will say, it is funny that the game exists in a way that is like, all right, everyone here. So the game has a setup where it's multiplayer, and it's saying to you, hey, one of the things about this is that in multiplayer, you will have people approach you in game that will try to use voice chat to talk to you. Don't trust these people. They're monsters. They're trying to get you. Instead, flash your badge and let them know you work for us. Crendor and I are like, okay, cool. Here's the problem. If there's only two people playing and one of us dies, it's very obvious they're dead. But then someone walks up and is like, hey, you, in not Crendor's voice. Right? And he's like, oh, hey there. I'm like, okay, so this is clearly the monster. There's no suspicion here. I know this is the monster. And I kept thinking, if you're going to have a multiplayer game like this, you should have NPCs. If it's four players and only two people play, we need two NPCs to join us. And those people can talk to us like, oh, hey there. So we think it's them still. Otherwise, that whole scare makes no sense because it's literally just the monster will show up and be like, oh, hey, I'm with you. And you're like, no, you're not. And then you get eaten.
Yeah. So I don't really get it because it's if you're with your friend and then this random character comes up to you trying to pretend to be your friend, but they don't sound like them. Is the
right? Yes. It's crazy.
Is the voice in game like changed at all? Like,
no, I mean, it is. So it's just the voice of a person, I guess, pre-recorded, I don't know. And it's like, hey there. And I think they're trying their hardest to do a whisper voice, so you think it's like a general whisper, but it's not. It's certainly not Crendor's voice. That dude has a very distinct voice. And so I'm like, well, he's clearly dead. I know he's dead. I heard him die. This guy walks up and is like, hey. So then I'll be like, hey, here's my thing saying that I'm part of this force. Where's yours? And you would think the computer, which told you, hold up your thing, would hold one up or try to... No, he just opens up and eats you. So anytime you see anyone, run. Doesn't matter who they are, just run. Which defeats the whole point of the game being like, don't trust anyone. This could get weird. Like, you know, they're all going to kill you all the time.
What if it should... Maybe this would have been a better game if it at the beginning of the game you had to record yourself saying specific phrases, and then
that would be cool.
NPC would take those recordings and play them back to the other players.
That'd be
trying
fun.
To at least pretend to be you in a certain way using your voice.
I mean, that's fun. I can't wait for the articles that will be published that are like, they're stealing your information for AI to take your soul.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, wait.
But there are some things that, you know, there's some levels that are really fun. It's basically little vignettes. The back rooms is just whatever the hell people want it to be, really. So, you know, the first level is that standard issue yellow wallpaper thing, and it's like, get lost and then find your way out, and eventually end up in a parking garage, and then you end up in like a city thing, and then underground. It's whatever the hell they want it to be, but eventually you end up at a birthday party, and it's literally sneak past the monsters or else they eat you, and that's the level. You sneak past the monsters. Except we couldn't figure out how to sneak past it because, let me just set you the stage. There's a hallway, and at the end is a party table. balloons, all these different things. When you turn the corner, there are two monsters facing a wall holding party balloons. But what you don't see is when you turn that corner and here are the two monsters, there's also a monster right here staring directly ahead. So you have to sneak past the two monsters that are not facing you while also sneak past the monster looking right at you. Every time we walked past there, he killed us. So we're like, all right, well, maybe we have to distract this guy. So there are balloons at the end of the hall. I pop the balloons. The monster charges at us. I was like, all right, Krendor, here's the plan. I'm going to pop these balloons, sacrifice myself. You go. Just go. So he does. He manages to make it past that first room. Next room, two monsters just waiting like, what up? Kill him instantly. It was trial and error to get this entire thing. And then half the time, you go in a, like, there's one hallway where it says left or right. And if you go one way, it's like, are you sure you want to go this way? And we're like, yeah, we're definitely sure. And at the end, it just loops you back around three levels into the past. You have to redo everything. It was atrocious. It was hell. If the point they wanted to make is that the back rooms is awful, they got us. I don't want to go there now. It was a lot. But with that said, I laughed the entire time. So it is what it is.
I have a question.
Yar.
So out of the Backrooms games that you've played, because you've played more than one now, correct?
Sure.
What do you think is the best one? Which one has been the most fun to play and the least annoying?
I like the Backroom games. Ooh, this is tough because, I think it was called like Pools or something. I like the ones that do not do suddenly a monster chases you. Because I always like exploring them a little bit more. Because the fun of it is how weird it is, rather than suddenly a monster appears and it becomes one of those things where it's like, all right, it's less about me being here and more about how do I get around this pain in the ass in front of me, you know? Yeah. And then it's trial and error to figure that out. I like being able to go through and look around and be like, ah, liminal spaces. That's weird. How weird can we get? And so there's some ones like, I think it was called Pools, where it's literally just the back rooms, but it's like an abandoned kind of like indoor amusement park pool situation where there's water slides to nowhere and there's physics that don't make sense. But what's fun about it is you'll be walking through the water and then you hear splashes behind you, but there's like nothing. And then you'll turn a corner and there'll be a giant rubber duck. And that's weird and terrifying. You're like, why is there a giant rubber duck? And then it like, because the water moves, the rubber duck kind of follows you a little bit. And you're like, is that on purpose? What's good? That kind of stuff. I'm more about that. And I'm fine with like weird, creepy monsters and stuff, but the minute it becomes, I got to get through this thing rather than, oh, that was a fun jump scare and now I'm moving on. Sometimes I want to get, oh, you scared me? Great. Let's move on. Rather than I'm going to be here for 25 minutes annoying you. Like, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And so I would much rather get a few scares in and be weirded out than your standard, you know, horror game trope of monster in your way. Which room do you hide in while you wait for him to walk by? I don't like that.
Okay.
No, no. But also, this is, I think the reason why we're doing it is because we're kind of really excited for the new A24 Backrooms movie.
Yeah. I'm so curious what that's going to be.
I'm excited because it looks like the guy who like really made the Backrooms YouTube video series pop off is directing it and doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
I couldn't believe it because I looked up how old he is and I was like, how the hell? He's like 24 or something.
Oh my God. A baby.
And he's directing an A24 movie. It's like, how the hell? That's crazy.
I mean, I feel like this is the one thing he probably can direct really well. Like, I don't know if he has directing chops.
He's 20. He's not even 24. He's literally 20. Oh my God.
But he has like clearly established. He knows the Backrooms lore he's created. That like he's got kind of like the Backrooms Bible, I'm sure. And so they could go to him and make it. I fundamentally believe like this is the one thing he could create. You know what I mean? He's clearly spent most of his life doing it. Other than that, I couldn't say whether he's a good director or not, but this is probably the one thing I'd be like, all right, yes, go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But it looks neat. I'm curious how they'll tell the story. I always find these more compelling when it's like a found footage thing. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what we're getting. It looks cool. And apparently is everyone who's seen it so far has been like, yo, this movie rocks. So
really? That's great.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yep, yep. It'll be nice to get a good video game movie in a horror genre that, you know, we need more of these. So
that doesn't
I'm here
suck.
For it. Yes, that's what I was saying. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, the Mortal Kombat movie doesn't suck.
I haven't seen it yet.
The new one?
Yeah, I've heard people say it's actually okay and actually pretty good.
Hot dog.
Haven't seen
it. Yeah, I saw the first one, and there are some parts I love and some parts I'm like, why? What are we doing?
Yep.
But I did like the Sub-Zero and the Scorpion stuff. I thought that was really cool. So I'm down if it's more like that. But also Johnny Cage. So, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm just excited for a Mortal Kombat thing. I feel like it sort of lost some of its relevancy as a franchise. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that somebody was like, what if we made another Mortal Kombat movie? That's fun.
I kind of was put off on it by their appearance at the Game Awards. I was like, this just seems like the whole cast came on stage and they just seemed like
a that
giant
was Street Fighter
house. Oh, that was
that
Street
was Street Fighter?
Fighter.
Was Street Fighter.
Oh.
And they shit-talked Mortal Kombat.
Right, right. Street Fighter. Yeah. Right, right. My bad.
That's
that shit
a totally
was
different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
a lot.
That whole thing was terrible and embarrassing. So, okay, maybe I'll go see Mortal Kombat, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show how cringe you felt it was by supporting Mortal Kombat instead.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. There we go.
Can you tell I don't really like fighting games? I'm barely coherently following it.
Honestly, the only reason that I was into fighting games was because I wanted to play games with my brother so bad growing up. And he went through a long phase where the only thing he would play were fighting games. And I was like, I guess I got to learn how to play fighting games.
Damn.
So Mortal Kombat's
got
a special
place in my heart.
Did you
learn, or were you like
me
where it was just mash buttons until opponent dies?
I learned how to uppercut and how to throw. And so I would play, I can't remember her name, the chick with the black and white hair who throws people with her hair. Somebody will tell me. But there's
Sindel?
Maybe. I would
We're
play
talking
as her
Mortal Kombat,
I would,
right?
Yeah, Sindel. I would throw people with my hair over and over again. And I thought that was very fun.
So. It is fun. It's ridiculous looking. You use your hair to kill people.
Yeah.
It's insane that was her skill set. People were like, yes, yes. The queen of Outworld or whatever, Empress, loves to murder people with her hair. Those are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are no rules in Outland. It is what it is.
Wait, so is the Street Fighter movie out? No, right?
Yeah, did
no,
that happen
I don't
yet?
Think so.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay.
No, this summer, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll compare and contrast.
Yeah, I mean, if I see one, I have to see the other, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm fine with it. I'll go see video game movies and support them,
it's
even if
October.
They're terrible.
Oh, God.
October? That's too far away. I'll forget by then.
Never mind.
Yeah, any promises I just made will be null and void.
Bro, I haven't seen a movie in forever, it feels like. I still need to see Project Hail Mary. I still haven't seen that.
It's
Girl.
Wonderful.
I know.
I love it.
I've heard
so
it's amazing.
Good. It's
My
probably
boy.
Ryan Gosling's best movie.
Really? Yes. Whoa.
Look,
that's my praise.
I'm not saying I went to go see it with a group of fully grown adult men and at one point looked over and there were tears on all their faces and it was glorious.
It made me cry.
But it's a good movie. Yeah. It If you've read the book, you will, it just like all things in life, you'll be like, well, why'd they leave out this scene? I will say there's a lot of the Grace and Rocky getting to know each other bits and signs things that were like, no, screw that. We'll make that a montage. Let's just go. Which is fine. It's a 2-hour movie.
So you're but saying, it's just like, you're saying watch the movie and then read the book.
Yeah, if you like it, read the book after. If you read the book before, you'll be like, they left out my favorite scene.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, well, okay. All right.
It's the book.
The point is still there though. And I enjoyed it very much. Yeah, like I watched The Martian before I read the book.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I get this. Which is why I immediately read Project Hail Mary and was like, yes. So yeah, good stuff.
Fantastic.
You know what? I redact my statement. It's not Ryan Gosling's best work. Because that was Blade Runner. But it's a close second.
Okay.
Dang, fair.
Blade Runner, very good. It's good stuff.
I do love Blade Runner.
Shout out to, you know, out of all of the, I don't want to say like the young, I was on, you know, that sort of like Disney Channel, Goosebumps, like all the actors from that era.
Sure.
He clearly came out on top. He's doing great.
He's doing just
Gosling's
fine.
Gosling's doing fantastic.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the other actors in that space of like, we were on early Disney Channel or like, you know, in made for TV Goosebumps movies or things like that. Most of them, I mean, they're around.
Has he done a bad movie?
Ryan Gosling? I'm sure he's done.
I'm sure he must
at least
have.
One.
Like young Ryan Gosling must
like
have.
Maybe like way back in the day, but I can't even recall like a movie that he's done.
Ryan Gosling.
In like the last 10 years, it's been bad.
Movie. Let's see.
It's gonna be something I never heard of.
Yeah, probably.
I gotta say, like, my favorite Ryan Gosling is like, if you go back and look at like kid Ryan Gosling, what a goober. You know what? What a goober. But yeah, he was on the Disney Channel's The All New Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh my God.
Really?
Right.
And if you go back and look at the cast of that, you'll be like, what the hell?
My God, I gotta look at it now.
It had people that went on to become people.
I thought Ryan was pretty good in Fall Guy, even if the Fall Guy movie wasn't that good. Dude, you need carbs. Shit's so good, that meme. Your brain needs carbs.
I've never seen that movie.
Fall Guy is one of those movies that if you look at the, I don't know how we found out this information, but there's like a whole category of movie that basically is done by this stunt guy. Like there's a stunt guy who is a director now, and he did like all these different stunts throughout Hollywood. I think he was Brad Pitt's stunt double for a while. And what ends up happening is he ends up directing the first John Wick movie. And because he directed John Wick, he ends up getting all these other deals. And so what ends up happening is he brings all of his friends in constantly. And so you'll notice that in these movies, like a great example is Bullet Train. Bullet Train, very fun. But in that movie, there are cameos left and right of people that show up. But like Brad Pitt's in it. Brad Pitt was this guy who directed it was his stunt double. So like it's a pure action movie, but there are all these connections. That's why, like, when Ryan Reynolds shows up in it, the guy who directed Deadpool 2, I believe. And so Ryan Reynolds and him are friends. And so they keep, and that's why Brad Pitt shows up in Deadpool 2 as a cameo. Like, there's this crazy web of people in this guy's life that he worked with and then just keeps bringing into stuff. Because he's like, yeah, I'm doing this other movie, this stunt thing. Do you want to be in this? And people are like, yeah, all right.
It's the Nepo web.
It's very interesting.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Fall Guy is one of those movies that he made. And it's interesting to see him just sort of connect with everyone in Hollywood, this guy. It's neat.
Dude, this cast. Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera.
Yep.
They were all on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There was a time period where there was this just group of people and they all ended up being celebrities. It's crazy.
Holy. Dude, the smirk on his face in this picture is so good.
I'm telling you, young Ryan Gosling is a pure goober, just like the gooberist. The director's name is David Leitch or Leitch. Mm. But that dude is doing things. Anyway, yes, Dukes.
All I was going to say is I think it's interesting that we had this like this wave of Disney kids that got huge. And then the next wave of Disney kids also got huge, but everybody still associated them and continues to associate them with Disney. But like, I never think about Disney when I think about Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or any of them.
I think that's because they learned their lesson post that. You know what I mean? I think it wasn't until Hannah Montana that they were like, oh, we need to lock this down and make some money now. Because, they kind of, when Mickey Mouse Club ended, they kind of like let those kids go to the wind. And then they got to have their own careers. While from, you know, Hannah Montana on, it was like, we own you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, Zendaya, don't forget who made you. Miley Cyrus.
I don't even remember Zendaya being in Disney.
Zendaya was on...
on like some dancing show, but like I don't even associate her with it
or something. Yeah.
No. I mean, Ariana Grande was Disney too.
That's what I'm thinking of is Ariana Grande
and one. And she's like, that's so funny because you go back and you see those. Is that Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
The Victoria show, I think.
She was Nick. Ah, Nickelodeon. It all blends together for me.
The slime.
Yeah.
The Schreiderverse, I think, is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Shake It Up. That's the name of the show that Zendaya was on. My kid and I hilariously accidentally watched the very last episode of that show and nothing else.
And we were like, did they like go to college or something?
Crushed it. What happened? I'm trying to even remember. We were both just like, wait, did we accidentally watch the end of this show? And we never went back to see how we got there. So.
Wait, who were the other Nick kids? It was. Was there anyone else? Was it just Ariana? Who else?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I don't know much about Nickelodeon's kid shows, sadly. Honestly, I don't know much except for what I was forced to learn about Disney because I didn't have the Disney Channel as a kid.
It's hard to remember which ones are Disney and which ones got Selena. Big on Nick.
Selena. Oh.
Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez was Disney because that was High School Musical.
Oh, Amanda Bynes was Nickelodeon.
Amanda Bynes was old school Nick.
Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Olivia Janet Rodrigo. McCurdy, I think is Nick.
Yes. iCarly. Yeah.
It is kind of weird when you realize that all the names we're mentioning are like, oh, yes, these people that are celebrities that all came from the same place. It does have a little, like, child celebrity mill vibe to it. Like, both Nickelodeon and Disney are like, yeah, we pump out the child stars.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't it weird that, like, the generation before that, they were there, too, but are not as associated with it as everybody that came after.
It is a little strange. But I also feel like there's a reason why people don't associate, you know, Britney Spears with Mickey Mouse because they didn't sit there and advertise it like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
they made like a whole brand and market off of these usually teenage girls in their TV shows and being like, you are the face of us right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And they got them to go out and do the like Mickey ears thing make music videos. Oh, yeah, they made music videos. They put them in every movie imaginable that they had on their channels. And it was like, your favorite actors from some show about a hotel are now in this movie about being trapped on an island. And it's like, cool, man. Like, will they get along? Yeah.
Yeah.
They always did in the end. And then they sang a song.
Every time. Then they're trying to bring back like all the old shows, but with their grown-up actors and then kids now. Like the Boy Meets World stuff, Raven Simone had their own grown-up show.
Yeah.
Can't remember another one. iCarly has a grown-up show.
Really?
And they like talk about like sex and stuff. It's like, bro, I didn't want to know.
Like,
Carly, no! No, it's
no,
too much.
Carly, what the hell?
I feel like they assume that as the audiences age up, that they can tell these, like, well, now they've aged too. But it has the same vibe to me as when Saved by the Bell was like, we're going to college. It's the college years. And no one gave a shit. People were like, I don't care. I don't care if you go to college. Have fun. I wanted to watch you at your stupid high school with your stupid principal. And that's right. Like what people watched for. And then they went on. It has the exact same vibe. It's like, no, we got to keep it going, though. Or like when Friends was like, and we're making a Joey show.
Yeah. It's the like, it's cool, the Boruto of the Disney and Nickelodeon yes. world.
No,
don't you still love them? Don't you want to see what comes next?
No, not really.
Like, not really.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish we had like a what happened in the future thing. Kind of like I want that from Avatar, The Last Airbender. I'm like, I want to see what these kids are like in their prime as adults, because that sounds cool as like, you know, them being benders and stuff. But for shows like Boy Meets World, iCarly, I want them immortalized in that aspect only, in that time of their life. Because for me, like my kid brain is like, I don't ever want to grow up. I never want to be an adult. I want to stay a kid forever and have this like imaginary world and everything's magical and I have no responsibilities. If I see these characters that I was like growing up with as a kid, they're an adult now. I now have to face the reality that I'm also an adult. And then I'm like, fuck.
That's not fun. So don't make
no. I remember when shit was easy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why fairy tales end and they lived happily ever after. And it isn't like, and now let's see what their life was like. Like, no, no one cares. They got together. They slew the dragon. We're done. Moving
on. And that
was
it.
Like,
and they never got divorced. And their kids never had to figure out which house they were going to be at Christmas.
Oh, God.
They never had to buy a new fridge.
My least favorite story is the one where it's like, and our heroes saved the day and went off and lived a happy life. And then we cut to part two where their children are a problem. And or the parents are assholes and the kids are like, we have to defeat the darkness that our parents once slew because they can't do it anymore. I'm like, shut up. This sucks. I hate this.
So
don't do this.
You loved the End of the Woods musical is what you're saying.
Oh, God. I remember that thing. That was so long ago.
Side note, though, I am very excited about the new Avatar movie. Not the blue one. The Bender one. Yeah.
No, I've heard it's really good. I'm just not watching it until it actually comes out.
Yes. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm
I was talking because people have been talking about it so much that I thought maybe it came out and I didn't realize. And I was talking about it on stream and everyone was like, but none of us have seen it, right? Because that would be illegal and none of us have watched it, have we?
And cringe.
What's genuinely crazy about it isn't the fact that they, bootleg the thing immediately, put it out there. What's crazy about it is watching the internet work on like a primal level where when they first released screenshots, there were a few screenshots that floated around of this bootleg. And one of them was of Toph. Shout out to Toph. Everyone loves Toph. Toph is a homie.
Best girl. Yeah.
But someone took the Toph image. And then, we're toffing.
Yes!
Metal
so
Bender, we get it.
Mine,
yeah.
A friend of mine, sorry to interrupt your story really quick. A friend of mine,
of course.
Also a mod, his name is Mooch. He 3D modeled this and made this entire thing for me for my birthday.
Awesome.
It's Toph in a like so a metal cage, but also it's a magic card holder. And he bought a bunch of the Avatar packs and just packs of magic cards and made me like a whole deck.
Oh, that's
cards.
So cool.
Yeah. And there's like little
that's
cards
very cool.
and stuff from Avatar.
Especially if it's like a Toph-based deck. That'd be fun.
But it's also a bunch of other decks too. Like there's Lord of the Rings cards in here and a bunch of other stuff. It was very,
that is
so
cool.
fucking sick.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, continue.
So, Toph, there was this image of Toph looking badass. Anyway, someone, I don't know who, your average internet perv, I would imagine, took that image and then I'm going to assume it AI'd bigger boobs on Toph.
Just boobs.
Of course, of course.
So what ended up happening is that image started circulating. And then people assumed that that was a real image from the movie. So then everyone on the internet is super horny for Toph all of a sudden. And now there are all these posts about Toph being super hot and everyone's excited for this movie. And that ends up spawning waves of Toph fan art, except Toph now has the modified boobs. And so it's this great, like, so much of the internet is losing their mind over a thing that is not real, not actually from the movie, but it got people excited for the movie. And I was like, I don't even know how this marketing occurred, but I just watched in real time people get excited based on a thing that wasn't real for a character that they're all horned up for now. And I was like, this is the internet classic got one internet.
Guy. Yeah. Yep. Literally.
As a whole got one guy.
I'm that even, person like, is sitting at home like, yes, I did
truly
it.
Truly viral marketing. It's crazy. People are like, I can't wait to see this movie now. And then they just like post their drawing of Toph. And I'm like, it got
I can't wait to see
so
this movie
horny.
Now. For what? You're going to see like 5 minutes of Toph on screen. And she's got, and she, you expect her to have big bahongas. And then what? What
I next? She does a sexy strip tease and burns the lens.
She gets fucking naked. It's, no,
it's gonna be a crazy movie.
It's just it has the exact same vibe as, oh my god, what was the name of that game where the devs were like, yeah, because we have 12 hours of robot sex. It was them just goofing, and everyone got insane. The what is that game where the robot ballerinas? What the hell is that game? And they're
Atomic
in Russia.
Heart?
And they're like, hello, comrade.
Yeah, Atomic Heart.
It's Atomic Heart.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And that was like a goof, and that became its marketing suddenly. And people got really horned up. And hey, let me tell you, that's not in the game, y'all. there's nothing sexy about that. They tried to kill you, dude. But it got them. It got the kids on the internet. They were like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Marketing.
I mean,
it's,
BG3's marketing, if we all remember, the first scene they ever showed was you fucking the bear. That was like their big hope.
We were there.
You can hear me in the background cheering loudly.
Hell yeah. I fucked the bear. I'm not ashamed. Yeah. I did it. I did that shit.
I definitely, at one point when he's like, should we? You could actively hear us be like, fuck that bear!
Yeah!
I just want to see if they could do it. And then they did it. And I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah. They did, yeah.
That, they did that all right. So, yeah, look, we've said it before. I'll say it again a million times. The best marketing you can have is horny dudes on the internet. Those guys will sell your crap. They'll be like, I'm attracted to this, and so it is mine. And I will do whatever it demands of me. Yep. It's just a fact.
Even if AI did it. We found out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was AI, but it feels like an AI thing. Because I don't know that some guy took the time to be like, I painted over it. You know what I mean? I don't think some guy was like, yeah, I used my art school skills to paint over this. I feel like it was AI. Yeah. Which is even funnier, because that, like, why? Dude was just like, what if I give him big boobs?
AI'd nice. Big and then boobs posted on it. Toph.
AI big boobs. A mistake.
Yep.
Jessup, what have we got going on in the news?
Well, boy, oh boy. First off, we're getting some information here. We might as well just get to it. Best Buy is out there telling people, hey, you should be aware pre-orders for GTA 6 are starting soon. And so everyone is speculating we'll get a trailer, I would assume, at Summer Game Fest, which is 2 weeks away.
Are you guys going to that?
I don't go to the actual event. I'll just watch it on stream. But after it's over, there's a thing called Play Days. And imagine like a very small E3 where all the companies and stuff that's at Game Fest go to this, and you get to go around and play the games and check stuff out. I love that. I think it's the best event of the year.
I might be going to that.
It's really low key. If you are there,
I've never been.
You'll love it. It's fun. It's nice. But yeah, Game Fest, I most of the time, every time I've been to one of those shows that Jeff puts on, I end up sitting in a way that there's like five cameras in front of me and I can't see anything. So why even be there? I'm like, why did I come to this? So I'd much rather just watch at home and make snarky comments about shit I don't like on stream rather than be there and silently be like, you know, but apparently we're going to get something. People are speculating that we will, in fact, there's an email apparently that's circulating that a pre-order campaign for physical copies will take place starting next week. We'll find out. I do not know. But that is the speculation at the moment. Also, the Zelda movie, which we had a little delay on, that was supposed to be released March 2027, has now been moved to May 2027. There were production reasons. I don't know what that means. They're being very on what that is. But they have moved the date to May 7th. Actually, now they're saying, hold on, has been moved up to April 30th from May 7th. Okay.
What?
So it's in flux.
My emotions.
It's in flux.
Okay, dang.
Things are changing so quickly.
So, yeah, I'm very curious what this movie's going to be. It's by it's directed by the guy who did the Maze Runner trilogy. So we'll see exactly what that's going to end up being. But that's what we know so far. And they want to make a serious and cool movie. I'd be happy if it was just good. Capcom, speaking of good, Capcom has sold more games this year than any other year in history, mostly because Resident Evil Requiem helped sell a ton of games for them. And they sold 59 million games during the business year. That's
Capcom
crazy.
Capcom does not miss.
It's a lot of games. Yeah,
oh my God.
That's massive. Resident Evil absolutely was the thing that pushed all the sales for them just across the board. Resident Evil, all the games. Resident Evil Requiem 4, Village. People are clearly going back and buying more, so that is huge for them. Sadly, even though I love Saros, it looks like there is analytics saying that basically it didn't sell that well and may struggle to break even. Again, this is one of those things that I always feel like, yeah, it's one of those things that it's like, hey, if you're just going to release stuff on PlayStation, you're just going to have to accept that a lot of people don't have a PS5.
Yeah.
I think it's just obvious what the issue is. Yeah.
And so then spending insane amounts of money on stuff, you have to wonder if it's even worth it. Like, you need a blockbuster on PlayStation. You need something that's like, this is the reason to buy a console to justify a lot of the costs. So I don't know.
I mean, that the console price for a PlayStation is so prohibitive. Like,
now,
even with an amazing game, most people just cannot afford that shit. Mm. It's insane.
Yeah, and the fact that they're saying now they're like, don't wait for a PlayStation 7. It won't. Don't expect it anytime in the next 2 or 3 years. Just don't expect it.
We don't
it.
Need it.
No. Honestly, you're like, right. Yeah.
Games look like probably the best they will, and they probably won't look any better on a PlayStation 7. So I think I don't know why you would even make one.
Or PlayStation 6. Sorry. I realized when you said 7, I was like, wait, that's not right. No, 6 is what I meant. Yeah. But like,
we're skipping
they don't.
6.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, it's fine. They don't. They don't. You can look at the difference between a PS5 Pro and PS5 is so negligible that I don't even know why you would get a Pro. Like, it makes no sense. They look the same. I'm sure someone would be like, well, actually, it's the frame rate's 33% faster. Like, all right, if that's the thing you care about. But it is that most people don't. Like, most people don't care about that. They're there to play a game that looks nice. Like, I played Yote. That game's gorgeous on a PS5, just a normal PS5. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But most people, as we said last week, are still buying PlayStation 4s.
Mm.
It's outselling a PS5 every time. Then we jump over to the world of Sega. Way back in 2021, Sega claimed that they were working on what they called a super mega triple A title that would go beyond traditional framework of games. They planned to invest $882 million into it, said it was going to change gaming forever, change live service forever. Apparently, they went too far beyond the usual framework because Sega has quietly confirmed it's been canceled. Due to the bad sales of Sonic Rumble Party, which I didn't even know existed, and the lackluster acquisition of the Angry Birds creator Rovio, Sega in general is pivoting away from live service and free-to-play games, which I'm all for.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is hilarious, though, that I love when, like, the corporate guys try to hype up a thing and they do too much, and all the actual devs are like
way overboard.
What? Yeah. So when the guys who hyped it up have to come out and say, oh, we're not making that anymore, they always like, this I think was crammed into a section of their like fiscal, like annual report. And it was just like, oh yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Which is very funny to me because you know they spent forever being like, it's going to change the world. Yeah, no, we're not trying to do that. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So that's what they're doing. However, they are focusing on plans to reveal new Crazy Taxi, new Jet Set Radio, new Golden Axe. All the games they promised a while ago, I guess, are on the way in the single-player form, which is fun. Then, speaking of canceled, according to Eurogamer, Amazon has canceled its Lord of the Rings MMO, which I assume says everything you need to know about the MMO market and everything that's going on with that right now. They also canceled their generative AI project called Trident, which I did not know about, probably for all the good reasons.
No!
Oh,
dude!
No.
We're also looking forward to the Trident to it. Development
the
for
generative
so long.
AI?
Everyone was looking for it. I know. I'm aware. I know it's going to break some hearts, but it's dead. I'm so sorry. And then they did end the article being like, the good news is Crystal Dynamics is also working on a Lord of the Rings game. Whatever that game is, I don't know. But if you are into Lord of the Rings, I guess some stuff is coming, maybe. Who knows? But not an MMO from Amazon. And that's kind of the big news. But of course, obviously, Subnautica 2 sells 2 million in 12 hours. It has 600,000 concurrent players. It's a smash hit. We all knew it was going to be, so that's not for shocking sure. In the least. And then release-wise, for next week, Darksiders War Master Edition comes out for PlayStation and Xbox. It's the third release for this classic, but it's a goodie. On the 19th, Forza Horizon goes to Tokyo, and if you want to go around Japan in your drifting car, go nuts. You can build warehouses. You can do all sorts of things with your sexy, sexy car. I it's so funny to me, these games, because my favorite part of the trailer for it is them being like, this beautiful world of Japan. You look at the countryside. Look at the beauty of nature. And then it shows you building a giant warehouse in front of it, and it's like, store your cars here. It's like, all right, cool, man.
Sure.
Great.
Bro, my car's got to have nature, too. You got to see all the trees and shit.
But that comes out. So yeah, if you want to drift and I assume meet your favorite Fast and Furious character, Sean, that's right. If you know Sean, then you're a hardcore Fast and Furious
person.
Everyone loves Sean. Then Corsairs comes out. It's an RTS pirate game where you command a fleet of ships. You engage in naval battles. You can be the pirate nerd you always want to be. It looks pretty cool. Very old school vibes. Then Rune Dice, a tactical deck building dice game where you build synergies and you know how that works. You throw dice and hope the world is kind to you. That's basically the game.
The demo for that game was so addictive, man.
It's fun.
It's
cool.
Good.
Then Thick as Thieves, a burglary game where you and potentially a co-op partner are thieves. You try to break into, I think there's like 16 different missions you can go on at the moment. It has a very Dishonored vibe to it. So if you like those kinds of games of sneaking around, that could be very fun. And if you say, screw that, I don't like those games at all, I want more Yoshi. Yoshi and the Mysterious Book comes out for Switch 2 on the 21st. It's a 2D platformer that takes place inside a book, and it's adorable, and it's got hand-drawn art, and, you know, it's typical Nintendo. Dude. And then, last and certainly not least, is LEGO Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. It's inspired by the Arkham games, but it's also LEGO. So, if you like LEGO games and you like the Arkham games, it's probably going to be a treat for you, and that is what's coming out next week.
Yippee!
Fantastic.
Yay! Dude, Subnautica selling 2 million copies in 12 hours, crafting on ChatGPT being like, how do we wipe everyone's memory so we can just, so everyone doesn't hate us anymore? How to print money? Gotta love it.
Hot dog. Stormfall, thank you so much for joining us for Geekenders. Do you want to tell everybody? Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're going to be up to this week, etc.
I'm going to be playing more Subnautica 2 on my Twitch stream, Stormfall33. And then I'll also be playing Batman, LEGO Batman, next week.
Cute. Oh, yeah. Very fun. Awesome. Jessup, what have you got going on this week?
Boy, oh boy. My birthday's Monday, so I will probably not be doing anything of value and just getting old. And then I probably am going to try my hardest to... I got a ton of games. I just am halfway through. Like, I want to beat Horror Plant. I want to beat Darwin's Paradox, right? I got a bunch of stuff I started and have not finished. So I'm going to try next week to just plow through it and get it done. And, you know, see if I can erase some stuff off my desktop. Because I'm staring at it right now, and the number of games just staring back at me is too damn high.
They will always be there. And one will replace the other.
Fantastic.
Or I'll just move it so I don't have to look at it. What are you doing,
dude? Also, happy early birthday.
Yeah, oh, happy early birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Jesse's birthday always reminds me of how mad he was that my kid was born in April instead of May. I think about time your birthday comes around.
It isn't just a birthday thing. I'm saying that we had a calendar and we were playing a game for money. And I had May 1st. And I'm not saying Dodger induced labor the day before. You didn't have to do that. You could have waited one day and allowed this victory. But because no one was on that day, and I'm not saying you did this on purpose, but you definitely did, all the money in the pot was given to Dodger to go to a spa day. You conned us. You conned us and you took our money and you went to the spa. How dare you? How dare you?
Sometimes life's a little kooky that way, you know? So, for me, I really want to play the new... Is it Supermassive? The space game.
Oh, 8020?
Yeah, I really want to play that. I'll probably wind up playing that next week at some point. And I definitely want to try out Subnautica. So, it might be kind of a spooky week. Next week, fingers crossed, if I can get everything working right. But yeah, nothing else really exciting on my end, I don't think. But hey, if you have watched Geekenders just now and you were like, I really enjoyed this, I'd like to watch more, we have loads. You can find them on youtube.com/JesseCox. We're also on all of the podcasting apps and sites. You can just listen to us in the car if you'd like. Until next time, please take care of yourselves. Have an amazing weekend and week, and we'll see you next time. What are you giggling about? We have
nothing.
Loads.
We got loads for you. We got loads.
We do.
You can take those. We got you.
Can I just say really quick before we leave that in Blackjacket, in the Blackjack game, mm-hmm. a lot of characters say bust and busting.
Hell often. Yeah.
and it's really funny. So another reason to play that game. Anyways,
busting makes
everybody.
You feel good. That's Ghostbusters taught me that.
Yep. So long, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.